This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
The schedule is out. People are texting in. It's amazing how many people are heavily invested in this. I love it. I love how worked up some people get. There's conspiracy theories already, Dave. Some saying, boy, the NFL stinks at scheduling. And so a lot of people aren't happy. I mean, first blush. We'll get into this. We'll go game by game. But just first blush, what's your reaction to what you saw? Five primetime games, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and I know we had a contest here. What, is somebody going to get a smart speaker or something like that?
Yeah, they'll be in the running for it because I'm going to guess there will be a lot of people that guessed five.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that later in the season, so you look at the 26th and January 2nd, you get Chicago and Detroit back-to-back NFC North teams. And, boy, time flies. Because I was just thinking about when we went to Detroit a few years ago. But anyway, AFC South is interesting. That was 2017 when I took the trip to Jacksonville in 2017. And just seems like 20 years ago. But those are some interesting up-and-coming teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Indianapolis with Carson Wentz, and that'll be interesting. I really like what they've done in Tennessee. You know, they've done a good job with Tannehill. And then who else you got in that division? You got, I mentioned Jacksonville already, and Houston. What's going to be the story there?
I don't know. Who's going to be the quarterback?
Who's going to be the quarterback?
I've got no idea.
And you're going to ask that same question in week 10 when you go to Green Bay. Now, I think we'll know by the time camp starts, but it would be, you know, I wouldn't put it past Aaron Rodgers to just say, I'm done. I'm calling it quits.
I wish I would have copied the link because I was reading through stories last night, you know, doing the show prep stuff, and I saw there was a story about somebody that was close to him supposedly saying, No. I think people are underestimating his will and underestimating how committed he is to this and that implying that he would retire, which I would think would be stunning. I think that would be the most stunning thing out of all of this, but maybe I'm underestimating him. Maybe he's feeling that financially he's in a position he's going to make money. He's got endorsements. He doesn't need more money. He's won a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP. Maybe he's fine. He's 37. He's 37 years old. He's got, you know, the high-profile wife and marriage, and it's all good, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he would call it a career. He'd go Barry Sanders.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got some drama here. I mean, and three of the biggest stories in the NFL offseason, probably, you know, other than Brady winning down in Tampa Bay, the Deshaun Watson thing with Houston, the, you know, Russell Wilson thing, and then the Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
So these quarterbacks, you know, they like to make a lot of noise.
Lots of drama. Lots of drama going on out there. And you guys can text in. You heard the schedule. Give us your reaction to it. What do you think? I mean, we're already getting predictions on win total. We got one guy who says, I see this one from the 206. Wow, I see the Hawks finishing 8-9, which is weird to hear because it's the first year of 17 games. My looked at that and went, 8-9, what? Oh, that's right.
First of all, you're way off, pal.
Yeah. You gave them an extra game. No, there's 17 games this year. Well, three preseason games this year, by the way. They've got the Raiders in week one, Broncos in week two, Chargers in week three of preseason.
Broncos, Chargers, and who?
Raiders week one, Broncos week two, Chargers week three.
Okay. What, so, does it indicate the home and away?
At the Raiders, and then the looks like the other two are here.
At the Raiders?
Yeah, sorry, they don't know the dates yet, but they know where they are.
Yeah,
so they don't know the actual dates of them yet.
That's awesome, you know, that going to Vegas. Going to get to go to the new stadium down
there.
Yeah,
looks nice.
Yeah.
Have fun. I'll be here.
I'll go to the nightclub down there.
Yeah, down there. Let me know how it goes. we had somebody who says, wow, I see the Hawks finishing 8-9. Road games will not be friendly this season. We will win half our home games, seeing who we're matched up with. And they're saying, do a quick game-by-game, predict a win or loss. I believe you may see the same thing I am. I don't think they're a losing team this year. So I'll just say that without going game-by-game, they will not be a losing team this year.
Yeah.
That's my bold prediction. Right now, on a 17-game schedule. I like them in week one. I think there's a very good chance that Carson Wentz could be pressing, could be going out there trying to impress, maybe force some things out there. The Seahawks have seen him. They're familiar with him. As much as it is a road game, and you know, that's to the advantage of the home team out there, I like the Seahawks in week one against the Colts. Where are you at?
Yeah, they should be able to take care of business. Remember, that was the first game they lost in 2013 when they made their Super Bowl run. I think they were 4-0, having gone to overtime against Houston, barely squeaked that out, and they went to Indy and got beat. Yeah, so it was that's the last time they were there. And so I like what they're doing in Indianapolis. I always have such a hard time saying that.
Saying Indianapolis?
Indianapolis.
You're like Charles Barkley.
I put a
– Indianapolis.
Is that what he calls it?
Remember that commercial he did?
I don't.
You didn't see that one? It was a good one.
I always put like an extra two N's in there. But yeah, Indy, how about that? Indy will be a pretty good test. This is a team in the AFC that's really – you know, built their defense up really well. They have a good offensive line there, and now they got a quarterback.
Yeah, so I think we both have them 1-0 after week one, right?
I'll take them on, yeah, absolutely.
All right, week two, the hated, dreaded Tennessee Titans come to town with their one fan in the stands, Mike Lefko in his Vince Young jersey, saying, come on, Tennessee, but you'll be drowned out by the hopefully 69,000 maniacs. Hopefully it'll be a full stadium. We'll see what's going on by that time.
Which jersey are you going to wear? You've got five of them.
I don't know. Probably go classic Eddie George. None of them are worth showing off.
You don't wear the Vince Young one, do you?
No. So, and here's what's cool. So I love Jared Kelmick because he wears number 10. That's my favorite number. Mm. So that's why I bought the Vince Young jersey. Number 10. Look great. Favorite number.
All right.
Yeah, you can't wear it.
So it was about the number and not the guy that wore it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought he'd be good too.
Did you have a favorite number growing up?
It was 24 because of Ken Griffey Jr.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Me too.
24?
Yeah. I loved 24.
Because?
I don't know. I just
liked just like the number.
Yeah, I just like the number. Maybe I saw a player that I thought looked really cool. Was Joe Steele number 24 maybe?
I don't know.
Husky, I remember watching a game in eighth grade at Husky Stadium. And, you know, he had this purple and gold on and you could see the lake in the background and everything. And I think Joe Steele was number 24. But, yeah, that's funny that you have a favorite number when you're a little kid. Remember those kinds of things?
Yeah.
What's your favorite color?
Yeah. let's see. Getting a lot of predictions. Simple. 12-5. Playoff team, period. Fred with an exclamation point. All right. Another one says 15-2. I'm confident. I'm not that confident. 15-2 would be a heck of a season. I would take it. I would love for you to be right. I don't know that that's realistic.
Yeah, is this a little early to be making predictions? We're already making predictions.
Listen, we make predictions right now with the caveat as the roster is finalized and we see who is ultimately on the final roster before the first regular season game, we can make our predictions.
Just not ready to go on the record yet, Bob.
Yeah, this is for now.
Okay.
This is first blush prediction with the idea and making it clear we'll make a prediction before game one of the regular season, not preseason, game one of the regular season. When the roster is finalized, then we'll come up with the official predictions on a 17-game schedule. But this is for fun right now. Schedule's out.
All right.
So I think I've got them going 2-0. Sorry, Lefko. I see them taking care of the Tennessee Titans here at home.
Oh, they definitely will.
Yeah.
Titans are in disarray.
I don't know, man.
They lost other good offensive guys.
I don't think the Colts are going to be a walkover. I mean, that could be one that you chalk up.
It could be close, but I like the Seahawks to pull that one out. I'm buying into the Seahawks. I feel better about the team as it sits right now compared to last year. I have more confidence in what they've got offensively. I've got more confidence on the defensive side. Another year for Jordan Brooks. I like the safeties. A full year of Jamal Adams out there, healthy, hopefully. Cornerbacks are the question mark. Doesn't mean they're bad. They're just the question. So, yeah, they've got more in the way of rotating bodies on that defensive line that can really help. We don't even know what Daryl Taylor brings to the table. Alton Robinson with a full year of Carlos Dunlap. You bring in Kerry Hyder. Yeah, I feel better about this team.
Well, I think you're going to pick the 10 a.m. games to win both of them. There's two of them, by the way.
Is there only two 10 a.m. games?
Yeah, Houston and Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, I've got them winning the first one. Houston. That's one where when we make predictions before the regular season starts, we'll have a better idea of what they're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be some clarity as to whether Deshaun Watson is there or not there. Same with Aaron Rodgers. But so far, I've got them going 2-0, and then they go on the road. So they're playing three road games in their first four. They start on the road, play one home game, then back-to-back road games, September 26th against the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think there?
I think they take care of the Vikings. I mean, that was a close game last year. I mean, and that was here.
Yeah,
I, to me, it was the defense was just really screwed up.
It was atrocious.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very, very bad. Jordan Brooks was hurt that game, but I thought that Cody Barton came in and did a really good job. KJ had a good game. Kirk Cousins, the problem was, remember, it was their backup running back. Dalvin Cook went down.
Yep.
Their backup running back came in and ran for like 100-plus yards.
The defense was just in a shambles. They were really bad.
Such a mess.
I'm with you, though. I like them 3-0 until October 3rd. I think that's where their first loss comes in.
At San Fran?
Yep. If San Fran's healthy, I just think that's going to be a really good team. I think Shanahan is a really good coach, as much as it pains me to say it, mm-hmm. and they know how to work within the limitations that Garoppolo has. They've already done it. They've gotten to a Super Bowl with him, and I'm going to assume he's healthy after 3 weeks. So that's the one loss I'd put, the first loss I would say on the schedule would be San Francisco in week 4.
Yeah, I would go along with that because, you know, I'm looking, they're probably going to lose, you know, if you have them losing one every four, you know, every quarter, you know, probably four losses, maybe five losses, you know, maybe they end up 12-5. Doesn't that sound weird?
It does. We're going to have to get used to this math. You're only adding one game, but you've been so accustomed to doing the math of 16 games.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. So 12-5, that would be a very good season, I would say.
Yeah, so, and, you know, and that's two. There's two divisional. I know you haven't gotten to it yet, but right after you play on October 3rd at San Francisco.
Short week, October 7th, yep. Thursday night football here in Seattle against Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
Well, at least your road trip isn't like you're coming from Minnesota.
Yeah, West Coast.
Houston, yeah, you're just coming from San Francisco. But, yeah, the Thursday night game, seems like they always have a Thursday night game. Maybe they'll break out the neon full on.
Oh, the
uniforms.
Action green. Yeah.
Look like a highlighter.
I like them in the first Rams matchup. I like them in this. They've got a tremendous record in primetime games. They're at home. Again, we don't know what's going to be going on with attendance and the crowd and all that good stuff. But Matthew Stafford and the Rams, I think they've lost a lot on that roster. We'll see how they're impacted. We'll have a good idea. You'll be a month into the season at that point. So we'll see what they look like. But right now, I'm leaning towards a win in that game.
When's the last time they beat the Rams at L.A.? Was it 17? Did they beat them?
I'd have to go back.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like I know that since I've been doing the radio stuff, they have not won down there. I would like to see a win on the road. So, you know, you mentioned you think they're going to beat the Rams at home. I'll take a loss there if we can get a road win against the Rams in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, okay.
If they're going to win one of those, because you think they'll split. I mean, do you think it's going to be?
I think they're going to split with the Rams, and I think they're going to split with the 49ers.
Yeah. And I feel like they should take care of Arizona.
Yeah. So are you giving the home Rams matchup a win or a loss? I know you want
to give it a loss, Bob, just so that later on we can get a win.
So you got them back-to-back losses then.
Yeah, there you
go. You got them 3-2.
In the division, and everybody in Seattle is going to freak out. And like, we got to get rid of Pete Carroll. He's too old. Russell's too short. He can't see.
You got them at 3-2. I got them at 4-1 after five games. Then they hit the road. Now, this is a hard one to predict. I don't know what to expect out of the Steelers. This is a Sunday night game on the road in Pittsburgh. I'm not really sure what to expect out of that team.
It was weird how they started out so good, and then it just got pantsed by the Washington football team. I think was maybe the first one that beat them. Did they crack the seal on that? I think they were 11-0. And then, you know, they lost, and then they end up getting kind of smoked in the playoffs by Cleveland. So, yeah, weird year, and, you know, we'll see with Big Ben. I mean, they got some good defensive players. Didn't they lose Bud Dupree? I want to say
you're right. 11-0. Then they lost 3 in a row. They were 11-0. They lost to Washington. They lost to Buffalo. They lost to Cincinnati, and then they beat Indianapolis and lost to Cleveland to end the regular season.
Yeah,
how about that?
Well, and they lost Bud Dupree, as Mike just said in my ear, to Baltimore. You lose it to a divisional.
No, Titans. Bud Dupree.
I'm sorry. You said the Titans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Baltimore.
No, Titans.
He said, he said Baltimore in my ear.
Someone else said Baltimore in your ear then.
Come on, let's go. All right, so Pittsburgh,
yeah,
so they're great. It's another primetime game, back-to-back primetime games. It's a Sunday night game on the road. That could be tough. I might give them a loss there.
I think they take care of the Steelers.
Okay. Well,
the Steelers.
Steelers. All right. So we've got the same record after this point. We've just have them trading losses, different losses there.
You're just wrong in, on who they're losing.
That's right. That's okay. All right. And then you go from there to another primetime game. It's Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints. And we don't know. We know it's not Drew Brees. I don't care if it's Taysom Hill. I don't care if it's Jameis Winston. They're going to win.
Yeah, you do.
Well,
you want it to be Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I don't. I think they're going to win either way, whoever's that quarterback.
And Jamal Adams is going to drop like three interceptions.
He's not dropping them. His thumb's going to be okay. His hand, he got that worked on. That's been fixed. I think he's going to come up with some picks this year. And I like him against the Saints at home on Monday Night Football.
I do, too. I got to say, man, I make jokes about that with Jamal Adams. He can catch. Trust me. And, you know, there was a couple of them that he probably could have had if he hadn't been hurt. I mean, look, we found out at the end of the year all of the injuries he had. Now, I didn't necessarily like the thing where he had his finger, you know, splayed open.
Posting the picture of the...
Yeah, and talking about all of that stuff. But it was pretty tough knowing that at the end of the year, you know, that how banged up he was. And he never said a word about it. So I love that about him. But, yeah, he's if Jameis Winston is there, I'm assuming if he's still the quarterback in week seven, he's not an interception dispenser like he has been.
Well, lucky for him, he set the bar so high for the number of interceptions. If he's on a pace for 20, they're feeling good about it. 10 less than he had before. So we both like him against the Saints. And then the last game before the bye week is in week 9 for the Seahawks. So their last game is against Mr. Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. I like him against Jacksonville.
We'll see Shaquille Griffin.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow build for that team. I don't think they're going to be very good this year.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, going back to 2017, the last time the Seahawks went into that buzzsaw, they ended up losing down there in Jacksonville. But that was one of the first broadcasts that I did. And I just remember looking at when we were on the plane going down there, and Schneider was like, you want me to help you out with some of these, you know, names and stuff and, you know, what we've seen. And, I mean, he's going down the list going baller, baller, baller. I mean, they had so many.
Did he call anybody a stiff?
No. I mean, it was just like after going, they had like the exact opposite as far as the, you know, the win-loss column. When the Seahawks were going 12-4, they were going 4-12. And and they were, you know, getting top 10 picks the whole way. And they had this great group of personnel, and then they just all left because something stinks in Jacksonville.
It does stink, and I think it may continue to reek a little bit. I think maybe it'll start to air out a bit, but not this season. So I like the Seahawks in that game, and they hit the bye week in week 9. So we both have them 6-2 after the first 8 games. We have different losses. We both have them losing to the 49ers on the road in week 4.
Yeah, but so, you have them losing to Pittsburgh. I have them losing to L.A.
Yeah, so within that, but we end up with the same record going into the bye week at 6-2. Now, here's one we may change before the season starts because we don't know what's happening. But on the road at Green Bay is their first game after the bye week. I will say if Aaron Rodgers is playing that game, if he's their quarterback, I think Green Bay gets that.
That's a tough one. Have they won in Green Bay in a while?
See, I don't catalog that. So I have to go back and look. I don't remember years that they won and lost in certain cities.
I just remember, you know, who was it? Nas Jones, is that his name? The defensive lineman. Remember he got an interception and it got called back.
Yeah.
It was a pick six, I think, off of Aaron Rodgers, but they lost that game.
Yeah. I think that's tough. It's November. It's not freezing there yet, but I think Aaron Rodgers at home, if it's Aaron Rodgers. We're just making this call now. We'll reassess before the season starts. But right now, I'm going to just pretend it's Aaron Rodgers and say that'll be a loss.
Text it in, 710-710. When's the last time they won in Green Bay? Okay. I can't remember.
What are you saying right now, though?
I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play out his whole drama thing, and I don't think he plays football next year.
Okay.
Since we're just making haphazard guesses right now.
We're just going with what's available to us now, so you don't think he'll be there. I'm just going to pretend he's there and they lose that game.
My dad would call that a wag.
A wag.
A wild blank guess. Yeah. I can't say that word.
Pretty much it. All right. That's followed by a home game against Arizona. I like the Seahawks in that one. I think Arizona will be better than last year, but I don't know if they'll be good enough to get that home that road win that would be a road win for them. So I'm going to go Seahawks against Arizona. You like Seahawks there?
Yes.
Okay. On the road against the Washington football team, a Monday night game, November 29th.
Here's what's going to happen, Bob. They're going to have injuries on their offensive line, and they're going to go and face those four first-rounders on that D-line. They're going to lose to the Washington football team.
Really?
Would you have ever said they would lost to the Giants last year?
No. Yeah. I would still bet on that game. Colt McCoy and the Giants at home?
You sound exactly like Jim.
Come on. Colt McCoy.
I still like that bet. I still like it.
Ugh. I refuse to accept that one. All right, Washington. I'm calling a win against Washington. I don't think they're there yet.
I think it's going to be a struggle. I think they lose that one.
Okay.
But I have them winning in Green Bay, so don't.
Yeah, so we flipped right there. At home against the San Francisco 49ers on December 5th, they win.
I'll take that.
On the road against Houston, this is another one we'll have to reassess before the season starts. But right now, I'll pretend Deshaun Watson's there. Either way, I'm going to say they beat Houston on the road.
Same. They're nobody without Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. But even with him there, I think they beat him. So I'm going to give him a win there. Another road game the following week, December 19th, on the road against the Rams. I think they'll lose.
I'm taking that one. Because remember, I called.
Yeah, you went the other way.
Went the other way. So I'd rather win at L.A. just because. Has anybody texted in, by the way?
I haven't looked yet.
Last time they won in Green Bay. And then the last time they won at the Rams.
So you've got them winning that one. I've got them losing that one. Yep. And then we've got three left here quickly. At home against the Chicago Bears. I like them against the Bears day after Christmas.
Yep.
We'll see if it's Josh Fields or if it's Andy Dalton who's going to be the quarterback.
Josh Fields. And I hope Chicago gets their quarterback. I hope Josh Fields breaks the Ohio State / Chicago Bears whatever is going on there, because they have not had a good quarterback there ever as far as numbers go.
Yeah, yep. So we both like them against the Bears. Detroit comes to town the following weekend.
With Goofy at quarterback.
2nd, with Jared Goff at quarterback. I think we both like them against Detroit.
Definitely like that one.
And then they close out on the road against the Arizona Cardinals on January 9th. What do you think?
I'm going to say split on that one. You know, and I have them splitting with everybody in the division. So, yeah, maybe it's one of those wild overtime games, but yeah, I'll take the Cardinals in that one. And it's just a function of, it's not that the Seahawks are bad, whatever, but you know, there's always going to be those games, and maybe Arizona's terrible at that point, but you know, none of their draft choices work out. Kyler Murray is, you know, injured, whatever, but it's like the Giants from 2020.
I've got them splitting there too.
Yeah.
So, we've got them what? I've got Green Bay, so loss, win, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 4-2, 5-2, 6-2, 6-3. I've got them 6-3 in this after the bye, and 6-2 in the first half. So that sounds like 12-5.
Yeah,
there you go. So we've got the same exact record.
We don't even need to play the games.
Yeah. So Dave and I both have a 12-5 record. For the Seahawks.
Just different losses.
A couple of different losses out there, but a 12-5. You guys can text in your predictions, and we'll allow you to change once rosters are finalized and everything after the three preseason games. All right. Coming up, we are going to wrap up our Battle Royale of the NFC West, where we take a look at the safeties of each of these teams. That is coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
All right, lots of text coming in on the schedule that was released. It's out there for everybody to consume and break down and see what you like, what you hate. A lot of people complaining about the NFL scheduling and, you know, this many primetime games here and none here and this many road games here and, you know, division games here. It's never perfect. I don't recall anybody ever coming out of a season when the schedule was unveiled going, that is absolutely perfect. I love it. It's just, there's always a complaint.
Well, the bye week's in a good spot.
Yeah, week 9, I think that's a very good spot, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the later, the better, I would guess. You don't want it early.
Well, the thing is, it's all about timing. I mean, there are times where, like with Jamal Adams, it saved him a game.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on the health of your team at the time.
But that was, I think that was, when was the bye week? Was it after 6 games last? last year?
Again, I'll have to go look.
I'm more curious about this question, Bob. Text it in to 710-710. Who said Josh Fields instead of Justin Fields? And I'm banking on me.
Could have been me. We were blowing through it so quick, man. Who
How come
knows?
Nobody texts this much when Clayton butchers names?
Maybe they're not listening as closely, or they just go into that segment anticipating names being screwed up.
Lefko just goes, it was you, Dave.
Oh, did he?
It was you, Fredo.
Fredo.
Well, I whispered it so no one could hear.
Just for comparison's sake, the Seahawks have a bye in week 9. Rams have their bye week in week 11. The Arizona Cardinals have their bye week in week 12. And the 49ers have their bye week in week 6. So theirs is the early one.
Yeah. So, it's interesting to look at these other 49ers. They start off at Detroit, at Philly.
Yeah.
So, and then let's see. They have a Sunday night game against Indianapolis. I'm just looking at some of their away games. And they get to go to Cincinnati in week 14. That's their extra game. We got Pittsburgh. They got Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. I can't wait. It's exciting to see this stuff, and we'll see how the rosters shape up and all that. But right now, let's wrap up our battle royale as we continue with a look at defensive position groups. We've gone through defensive line, the pass rush. We've gone through linebackers and cornerbacks. Now we're looking at the safeties and how they compare to each other in the NFC West. You start with the Seahawks, and I love our safeties. I love Jamal Adams. Love Quandre Diggs. What a great acquisition he was. Another one that Schneider plucks off a roster, and you're going, how does a team let this guy go? How do they not maintain his services there? He seems like he's a fantastic player, and he certainly has been that. So you got Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs. Adams only played in 12 games, dealt with injuries, but in those 12 games had 9.5 sacks, 83 tackles, 14 tackles for a loss, 3 pass breakups, a forced fumble. Quandre Diggs, 64 tackles, 10 pass breakups, and 5 picks.
5 picks. It was great. And, he got kicked out of a game also because of a, helmet-to-helmet thing, which was in against New England. And, that was entirely on Cam Newton, relating his receiver into a blow-up shot, which a lot think that he should be penalized for that.
Right.
Quandre Diggs, though, very quietly being a Pro Bowler, and it's too bad it's in a year where they're not holding the Pro Bowl. And, I feel bad for him because I don't think – people are going to remember that. I think Seahawks fans will, but I don't think around the country people are going, oh, yeah, how about this Diggs kid? Look at him. There's no Pro Bowl. So he made some of the most ridiculous plays this last year, including one which was an open field tackle that was unbelievable in space with Todd Gurley.
In doing like we've done with all these other position groups, looking at the best individual player amongst everybody, it's Jamal Adams.
Yep.
Jamal Adams is the best player in this entire discussion here, in my opinion.
Yeah, you've got Buda Baker.
Like Buda. I think he's a great player.
I do too, but no.
He's Jamal's different. He just is. So you brought up Buda. The Cardinals have Buda Baker, obviously, and Jalen Thompson. Baker had a team-high 118 tackles, 2 sacks, 8.5 tackles for a loss, 6 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and a forced fumble. And Thompson played in just 5 games, had 1 pass breakup and 19 tackles.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jamal get those interception numbers up there and break that stigma, because it really is just, look, the one against the Jets right in his hands, he drops it. I think the one down the seam in the Ram game at home probably could have caught that if he, wasn't banged up a little bit, or, I think he had something with his finger at that point. So that'll get fixed. That's the one thing you do see. See, Buda Baker's a little bit better as far as interceptions go.
Looking at the Rams, they've got Taylor Rapp, who people know out here, and Jordan Fuller. They both combined for 104 tackles, 8 pass breakups, 4 picks. They lost their leading tackler and pass breakup guy, and John Johnson went to the Browns.
Yeah, Johnny Johnson. So, I never thought he was that great. But, you look at the Rams, same thing with the Niners. Jimmy Ward's pretty good. Jaquizi Tartt.
Jaquiski.
There we go.
Jaquizi.
I'm just going to call him Josh.
Jaquizi.
Yeah. But, you've got great corners if you're the Rams. You got a really good pass rush with Floyd and Donald, but not up the middle of your defense.
I think it goes in the order they're listed here is how I like them. I like the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Rams, and the 49ers.
Yep. I might
flip the 49ers and the Rams.
That's what I was just going to say. Jimmy Ward actually has played pretty well, and Jaquiski Tartt, you know, he's just one of those guys that it seems like, and again, it's because in the division, you're playing him twice. You know, you hear these names, you see him make plays, and it just seems like he's made a few plays against the Seahawks over the years. But no, I think, yeah, maybe put the Rams last in that one, especially since, you know, they lost a pretty good safety in John Johnson, who I never really liked that much.
But he
did have a good year last year.
All right, there you go. There's a look at the safety. So what we're going to do is come back and sort of review the battle on both sides of the ball and come out with the ultimate winner, see how these teams stack up against each other based on how we viewed each position group on both sides of the ball. That's coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
You got the Mariners taking on the Dodgers, game two of their series. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. So make sure you stay tuned for that, see if they can get back in the win column. But we've been going through the NFC West and comparing position groups. And people are like, how come you didn't include this guy? How come you didn't include that guy? We just went with the starters. We didn't go with the nickel corners and everything. Somebody asking why we didn't mention Marquise Blair. We're going with the presumed starters at either side is how we compared that when we went cornerbacks. And safeties, same thing. You're going with we can't go down every guy on the depth chart.
Well, and we don't know who's going to start.
Yeah, we're just sort of the presumed starters.
Yeah,
we'll see what it looks like when the season starts.
But you can look at the roster and things like that.
I feel like as we've gone through this, and we could recap every position group if you want, you know. But we went offense. We started with offense the other day. We gave the quarterback nod to the Seahawks. We gave the running back nod to the Rams. We gave the wide receiver nod to the Seahawks, and the offense tight ends we gave to San Francisco. Did the Cardinals win any category in any of these?
I don't think so.
I don't think either, now that I think about it.
Well, and I remember everybody thinking that they were going to be actually, you know, second in the division last year.
I had them third in the division last year. I thought and it's kind of how I feel this year. I have them last, but not, I think them and the Rams, I think it's going to be like last year. I think the Seahawks and the 49ers are going to be battling out for that top spot. And this is all assuming health. If everybody's healthy, it's going to be a battle between those two. I see the Rams being third and the Cardinals being fourth, but I think those two are a lot closer. I don't know how much better Stafford makes them versus the losses they've suffered, the Rams. And the 49ers, they lose Saleh, but they get back their health. They get back Bosa. They get back Garoppolo, assuming they stay healthy. You know, so you're looking at all those, the additions to the Cardinals roster with J.J. Watt, a healthy Chandler Jones. So we'll see. I still think it'll be the best division in football again. I think it'll be the toughest division in football.
Yeah, so it's pretty tough. I mean, you look at the teams that the NFC West are playing in the AFC, the bonus might be one AFC North that's coming on a little bit. You know, but it's on the AFC side, so obviously we don't really care about it that much. But, you know, you look at the Steelers, Baltimore, Cleveland, they're looking pretty good. Cincinnati, no, but Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, all pretty good. So that's a good division. But no, this one's good. I'll tell you right now, they're interviewing Brandon Staley on ESPN, and that's a huge loss coaching wise for the Rams.
Yeah,
the Rams were so good, and they just turned around almost instantly with Brandon Staley. And now he's gone. So we'll see how they do. But they were number one in a lot of categories. He's now obviously the head coach of the Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers.
And they also lost their passing game coordinator and their run game coordinator, right?
Very important. Very important.
As soon as we figure out what they do, we're going to talk about how important that was.
Two of their coaches here. So Andy Dickerson and, of course, Shane Waldron. So that's a big part of it. But you look at the talent, it's definitely there. I mean, Arizona, you mentioned them, you know, being fourth in almost everything, every category. They're taking some chances on, you know, some kind of unique type of players like Isaiah Simmons and this Zaven Collins guy that they got out of Tulsa, kind of a smaller program and just this big, huge, monstrous guy that runs around, makes plays everywhere. You know, if they hit on a couple of those, maybe they'll break out of it. But yeah, it's competitive. I bet you Arizona wishes they were in a different division.
Well, how do you see the conference or the division shaping up? How would you pecking order?
Well, I guess, you know, look, I'm always going to take the Seahawks just because Russell Wilson, and you have the best quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's always there. But I wonder how much those injuries hurt the Niners last year, or were they really just not quite as good? You know,
Bosa and losing your starting quarterback, as much as we may look at Garoppolo as limited, I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's elite, but I think he's a good quarterback. And they were without your starting good quarterback and one of the best defensive players we've seen. And those are big.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. So I'm giving it. And Kittle was hurt for a while, came back. So
true.
I just think those injuries really, really took it out of a team that I think otherwise would have been right there, would have been a nip and tuck battle with the Seahawks, which is, again, assuming health, that's what I expect this year.
Yeah. And then, you know, offensively, I feel like the problem with Schottenheimer was that, you know, he had a hard time adjusting. You know, adjusting in game, and you know, maybe with Waldron and Dickerson, the run game coordinator, that they'll be able to change. You know, mid game, like the Giants, they just kept coming out and doing the same thing, and Russ was missing checkdowns, and it was getting more difficult.
I'd really like to forget that game
as it went along. I know you didn't like that, especially the Colt McCoy aspect to it.
Their only home loss last year, they were 7-1 at home, and the one game they lose is to the Giants and Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Remember they blocked a punt in that game.
Yeah.
And the ball went out of the back of the end zone and got a safety when they could have had a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot of weird things that happened in that game. So, I think, though, the thing, the sort of stigma was with Schottenheimer. And I think he was a good coach and everything, good guy, obviously. But it just seemed like they had a hard time. And maybe him and Russell just didn't communicate the best. This is going to be – I think the biggest move by far in the offseason is going to be this hiring of the offensive coordinator. You know, if you see that they're able to keep up with and, you know, have the kind of offenses like Kyle Shanahan has, like the Rams have, you know, I feel like the Seahawks haven't kept up with that aspect of it. And this year they did something that kind of indicates that they are keeping up, that they want to be more a little bit, they're kind of dragging Pete. And I look, you know, it's still good to run the ball. And anybody that says Pete's a caveman because he wants to run the ball, it's ridiculous. You just got to do it differently. And I like the way they spread teams out defensively as far as, you know, with the whole fly sweep and all that stuff. So that's going to be the biggest, I think, move no matter what this offseason.
All right. So quickly before we get out of here, you've got it Seahawks 1, Niners 2, Rams, Cardinals?
Yeah.
Is that how you have it going?
You know what? I'll switch Rams and Cardinals because, you know, we'll see how they're going to do without Staley.
So you got Cardinals, Rams?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
And, again, we allow for change before game one of the season once we know the rosters. All right. That does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Mike Blowers, John Clayton, for joining us on the program. If you missed anything from today's show, make sure you head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Just click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, and click on that. Anything you missed, each and every single day will be waiting for you right there. You've got the Mariners and the Dodgers game, two of the series, the pregame show coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Wyman and Bob right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.